Amen. You may be seated. As children are dismissed, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be beginning in verse 5 this morning. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ teaches us how to pray. Jesus Christ teaches us how to pray. I want to say this morning that prayer is one of the basic foundations of when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we often, as people, imagine prayer as a flowery worded great speech. But really, prayer is connecting with our Creator. Just as you sit and have conversations with one another, we converse with our great Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in this text of Scripture, first of all, I want to lay some foundations here. It's in all of our bulletins every week, but how prayer works, we have to first understand, which is why we took communion this morning. If we're going to pray, we understand, first of all, that we speak to God as our Father. We're adopted into His kingdom. And how are we adopted? Through Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. And so He made the way so that we boldly can come to the throne room of God and have fellowship with Him and a friendship with Him. But it doesn't stop there. If you're born again, you've received the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, living inside of you. And so we pray to God through Jesus Christ that we're saved and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the relationship of the Trinity in this. Ephesians points this out. He says in Ephesians 2, "But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." Without Jesus, there is no prayer. Without the Holy Spirit, we have the inability to pray. Because we can say things in our flesh, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 22, he says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain that is through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." And consider these scriptures about the work of the Spirit in our praying. He says in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba," or Daddy, Father. We can't have that kind of relationship and that connection and that intimacy with God without the Spirit. Romans 8, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for human words," or for words. "And He who searches hearts knows that is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will." Have you ever hit a roadblock in your prayer, like, "I just don't know what to pray"? That's where we immediately can go to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and trust that He is going to lead us what to pray. And when we can't pray, the Holy Spirit prays and intercedes with us. This is a difficult scripture for us to understand, but it speaks of deep intimacy, that He groans. I don't know if you've ever been in such deep prayer that you just kind of feel the Holy Spirit groaning through you, speaking in things that are not human words or intelligible, but He does. He knows. And He prays according to God's will. And that's the power and privilege of every believer, is the Holy Spirit praying through the believer. So that establishes the relationship. But we have to understand that there's two modes of prayer. There is private prayer, where you retreat and pray on your own, hopefully throughout the week. Jesus says in the beginning of our text of Matthew chapter 6, He says, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. And then He says, they pray on the street corners. And then He says, but when you pray in verse 6, go into your room and shut the door and pray to the Father. The Pharisees had some bad habits. They didn't have a private prayer life with Jesus. They only would stand on the street corners and hoping that somebody would notice that they're praying a great prayer. So there's private prayer. Jesus often, you'll find in the scriptures, would withdraw to solitary places to pray. And then we find in the scriptures public prayer. And I want to read some scriptures about that. In Matthew 18, He says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And that was in the context of offering forgiveness to somebody and forgiving someone for their sins. But He says, if two or more agree. Now that's the power of the church coming to pray together. And if you don't have a desire to pray together, I would encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you that desire, to give you that draw, and to give you that power. And we're going to break down how to pray, so don't worry. You don't have to use big flowery words. You can stutter. You can pause. You can stop in the middle of your prayer. You can even jumble up and mess up your words. God doesn't care, because we're talking to our Creator and we're adopted as His children. Do your kids always talk to you in perfect terms when they want something, or they fall and hit their knee? They're like, Dad, you're like, what are you saying? But you as a parent reach down and care for them. It's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. Acts 4:24. So we come together in prayer, and in this context, the apostles in the church were told, you need to stop preaching the gospel. Stop preaching Jesus. And you know what they did? They heard it and they went home and despaired and like, oh no, it's all over with now. The devil's beat us. The church is going nowhere. What about what Jesus said? The gates of hell will not prevail against. I just don't believe that anymore. But notice what they did. They lifted up their voices together. They all began to pray together, Sovereign Lord who made the heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. They came together in prayer. And before this sermon is done today, I'm going to issue a challenge to each and every one of you. If you're afraid to pray out loud, ask the Holy Spirit. First of all, we have to get over ourselves. Second of all, we have to realize we're not praying to the people in the room. We're praying to God. And so that shifts a focus on how to pray out loud. Prayer is simply and sincerely talking to God. Now look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to read that again in 6. He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. First of all, prayer is addressed to God, not to other people for show or attention. If you stutter your words again, and I want to reiterate that, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You could have been born again yesterday, and you can pray the most powerful prayer to God because you have the Holy Spirit, God Himself, living inside of you, who knows the will of God. He gets through our jumbled words. He gets through our bad grammar. He gets through all those things that we worry about. Well, I don't know enough to pray. If you know Jesus, you know enough. Your kids didn't have to learn to come and ask you for things. When they fall, what do? They run to mom and dad automatically. Secondly, this means prayer is conversing with God and does not consist of formal, idle, or vain repetitions. So the Pharisees were out praying these prayers. I mean, and when we get caught into this, and I catch myself getting caught in, at dinner time, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Bless this food, our bodies, in Jesus' name, amen." Or, "God, you're neat, let's eat." Or all those cliche things that we say. Or even when it comes to our personal prayer, sometimes we find ourselves repeating things and we're mindlessly not even engaging with God. So it'd be like me coming to express my gratitude for Tanya making a dinner. "Thank you for dinner. For doing what you're supposed to do." That's not going to go well, is it? I'll be making dinner for the next 3 months. You don't want to come over that 3 months for dinner. We don't talk to each other like that. We don't come to our friends over coffee or at McDonald's or wherever we eat at the Thai place. There's a lot of Thai place people here. We don't have a rehearsed speech to give to one another. That's what Jesus was talking about. Prayer is conversing with God. It's not this formal, idle thing. And by the way, it is a form of witchcraft to repeat things. And there's some faith teachers that teach, if you pray these prayers that I wrote 7 times, God has to answer those prayers. That's witchcraft. That's not praying to the God in heaven. That's idle words, what Jesus is talking about here. And prayer is about coming to God, our Father, who already knows everything that we have need. So we're coming in relationship to Him rather than trying to be polished or formal and using many words. Let's see, my prayer time starts right now. I got to fill a whole half hour. Forget about that. When I sit down to my dinner with my wife, I don't say, "Okay, we got 15 minutes to eat." She eats much quicker than I do, and so I have 5 minutes to sit at the end of the table by myself or whatever, which she never leaves me and she never abandons me. But no, it's never like that. We sit down to dinner and we enjoy one another's company, and we don't pay attention to what time is. You have to finish the meal in 20 minutes. We don't do that when we converse as friends, usually. But you know what vain repetition is in our speech and how we live our life? Somebody comes up and says, "How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How are you doing? How are you?"
"Well, my hand hurts."
"No, I don't want to hear about that." That's going to take too much time for you to tell about your hand. That's vain repetition. Or that is using our speech like, "How are you doing?" I really didn't mean, "How are you doing?" I wasn't viewing that as a friendship or relationship. So when Miss Pratt was going to prattle on, no pun intended, about her hand, I walk away. That's a cultural shock to Tanya when she moved from the Ukraine here, when people ask how you're doing and keep walking. Because they expect to sit down and have tea and talk about all the things and the problems. And that you really mean, "How are you?" All right, so let's come to number 4, which we're all waiting for, is how do I pray? Jesus Christ has given us a pattern, and it's okay to pray it, but it's not just meant to be a prayer that's prayed. It's meant to be a pattern to follow. And first of all, He begins by our Father in heaven. That is our privilege of coming to our Heavenly Father. In other words, we have a grateful relationship that we have access to our dad and our friend in heaven. And so that's first and foremost, that we're not come to punch in on a time clock. We're not coming to just say idle words without meaning. We're coming to meet with our God because we've been adopted into His family. He is our Father He is our friend. And so we have this grateful relationship. And then he moves on in the prayer, hallowed be your name. If in case you're wondering, that word does not mean to hollow something out or make something empty inside. But hallowed in this term means God is pure, God is holy, God is blameless, God is totally beyond us. And so this is the time of your praying where not only we've accessed the Father as our friend, but we begin to give him worship. I want you to just take a moment right now, just on your own. You don't have to speak it out loud, but just to give God a phrase of worship. Thanking him for who he is. Well, God, I love that you're in control of the universe. Or I love that you're promised to never leave. Whatever it is, I'll let you do that. So all prayer begins with worship, honoring the name of God. It's not, Lord, I have this need and I have that need and I have this need and I have that need. What would happen in our relationships if that's how we approached our relationships? And a lot of people sadly do that. It's not to get to know the person, but what can I get out of this person? How can they advantage me? And then, so we have worshiping God for who he is and what he does. He's holy, pure, and blameless. And then we have advancement of the kingdom of God. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a lot packed in there. So what do we pray in that section? When we're asking God for his kingdom to come, I think, and your will to be done, the first and foremost thing, this is a place or a posture, an attitude of our heart where we surrender to the kingship of Jesus Christ. It's bringing our agenda in alignment with God's agenda, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It is asking God for direction. It is looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. It is to begin to pray for Christ's church, to pray for the children's teachers, for the elders, for the pastors, for the other congregation members, as you know that as they share in joys and concerns their mission and the people they're trying to witness to in their neighborhood, at their work, and wherever they're at. It is praying for the kingdom of God to advance through evangelism. Or you might know that in your neighborhood or there's a particular spiritual stronghold. Maybe in a friend's life, they're dealing and battling with some addiction. Or you might have a neighbor that's involved in dark things. This is where we go to war. God, Jesus Christ, would you rebuke the evil? Would you come and move in power and advance your kingdom? It's bringing our wills in alignment with God's will. Which just as our brother read this morning, what is the will of God? That all should come to repentance. And he's called us to confess the name of Jesus. It's getting in alignment with God's kingdom. So I want to give you a moment to pray for something along those lines, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you right now. So we have this acrostic of prayer here, privilege, reverence, advance, and now is the word yearn. That's give us this day our daily bread. And that is when now we present our needs, our requests. And you know, a lot of times we want to present our physical needs, and God cares about all of our physical needs. But have you ever thought about praying for your spiritual needs? Have you ever thought about praying in the areas where you feel a little bit dry or discouraged in your walk with the Lord, or where you feel just emotionally drained, or maybe socially things aren't going as well for you? Say, God help. God help. So take a moment to pray for a need. And the next thing is to examine ourselves. And that is to come to God in repentance for forgiveness. He says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is including repentance in our prayer. It's including asking forgiveness of God, but it's also including offering it to others, including yourself. I can often say, God, forgive me for these sins, and then the next moment I'm condemning myself for it as if God didn't forgive, because I didn't forgive myself. And the power of God's forgiveness causes us to forgive others. As a matter of fact, at the end of our text today, in verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Why is he saying that? Because our hands are closed. We're unable to receive God's forgiveness because we're so focused and asphyxiated on the bitterness or the bad things that that person has brought about in my life or my workplace or school or church or whatever it is. Examine. And then last of all, we have rescue. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's asking God for spiritual strength. Anybody in here needs spiritual strength? It's asking for protection from the world and the devil. It's asking for help in the areas that we're struggling with. It's the power not to fall back into sins you've just confessed. David understood that. He says, "Give me a right mind. Renew my spirit." In other words, give me the will to do what's right now after I've confessed my sin. It's protection from new areas of sin. It's exposing the traps of the evil one. God, would you show me where I might be tripped up this week? Would you make me spiritually aware? Would you protect me? And so when we conclude today, when we pray, it must be real and raw and honest. And our actions must match our words. So it's not how you doing. If we're going to say how you doing, God, be prepared to sit down and have dialogue in relationship. If we're asking God for forgiveness, then we have to forgive others. So that gives us a whole pattern of how to pray. It doesn't have to be big and long. And I want to encourage you this week to take this. You have notes in your bulletin to go home. Even if it's just taking 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 30 seconds to go through and look at these things and lift up one thing before God under each category. And before you know it, it's going to become a natural pattern that you'll just understand that my prayer always begins with worship. My prayer always includes repentance. It always includes the kingdom of God. You see, when our prayers get focused on one thing or the other, we get imbalanced in our life and we lose sight of why we took communion. It's the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And at Christ Community Church, we have some exciting things. And I want to invite Don and Tammy Allen to come and share what we're going to be doing with this Bless app and how we, God, can use prayer to advance His kingdom in our community. Uh-oh, it looks like it's going to make... Oh, no.
That's okay, because I can sign back in.
It's right there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
There we go.
So, the microphone.
Yep.
Well, good morning. We are Don and Tammy Allen, in case you heard our names but didn't know exactly who we are. And we just feel like we just have an honor and the privilege of just leading out this ministry here at Christ Community Church. It's something that we've actually been praying about for a really long time. We were approached quite a while ago about the possibility of leading this out, and we just felt like the timing wasn't quite right, and we wanted to make sure that God was the one who was leading us into that. And so we just felt like the timing this fall was right. And so we're excited about this journey. And today we wanted to just share just a couple of things that as a faith family, we could link arms and work together toward in reaching the people God has placed in our lives. Don and I believe wholeheartedly that God has equipped us and given us gifts and talents and abilities to just be encouragers and equippers in the body of Christ. We feel like that's the purpose that God has given us in ministry. And so as we think about missions and outreach, that's the direction we feel like God is leading us in. And so over the next year, we just feel like the strategy or the vision for missions and outreach is this idea of be the light. Be the light where God has placed us. It's no accident that you live where you live or that you work where you work, where you go to school. God has placed each of us in unique situations. We all rub shoulders with different people, and you're in a place where the rest of us aren't. And so we just want to be encouragers and equippers and give you guys tools, all of us tools that we can use to just be what we're called to be about and share the gospel with those. And so when Pastor Mike mentioned last week that he was going to do a message on prayer, it just felt like God was just lining everything up. And we had talked about this tool a couple months ago in a leadership meeting. And Don and I called Pastor Mike this week and we're like, hey, what do you think about us just going ahead and talking to the church about it? And we just felt like it was a good opportunity as we're talking about prayer. So this is a website called blesseveryhome.com. And in here in just a minute, I'm going to put a QR code up on the screen and you guys can use your phones and go directly to this website. But I want to show you a couple things about it first before we do that. So the Bless Every Home is a tool that Don and I have been using for a really long time. And it's just a way that helps us be very intentional about praying for the people God has placed in our lives. And we know that power changes things, that God uses prayer mightily. And so this first step that we want to introduce you to is just let's pray for our neighbors. It seems kind of simple, but I think it's a great first step in as we think about outreach and about seeing people come to know the Lord, praying and asking God for wisdom, asking God for strength, asking God for opportunities to share the gospel. I think it starts with prayer. And so this is called the blesseveryhome.com. And I will say there is an app available. Google and the Apple Store, the App Store does have this available for download. And it's a little, if you're one of those that you really like apps on your phone, this would be it's a great way you can download this. But you can start with a website and you register for an account. It's free. You just put your name, you put your email address in, you'll put your address, and it automatically populates the neighbors around you where you live. It gives you names. It gives you addresses. And so this is my account here. This is my list. So every day you pray for 5 people. And you can sign up to have it give you a reminder. If you're using the app, it'll pop up on your phone. If you're using the website, you can have an email sent to you. Some people like email. Some people would rather have it just pop up on their phone. So these are the 5 neighbors. So it says unknown resident. That's because there's something with the mail system that it could be a renter or could be somebody who recently moved in. We don't have a name. But then you see I have 3 people. These is on our street. Some of these people are down the street. And then I got my reminder. So right here it shows me. I'm doing this like you can see it up here. I'm sorry, I'm a teacher and I'm used to having where like if my hands are under here, you can see it. So oh my goodness, I just thought of that. I'm like, they can't see me doing this and pointing to this. But if you see up there, so if you scroll down, so far we've got 71 homes that we've adopted, and so we've done our street, and then we've done the street behind us, and we started this several months ago, so it keeps track for you how many times you've prayed, and then there's different letters You can keep track of how many conversations you've had. So not too long ago, our neighbors were out in the yard, and we just went over, introduced ourselves, and started talking to our neighbors, so I can record that. You can record how many meals. And so there's different steps to take. Serving, if you mow their yard, you take them a meal. And then story would be sharing the gospel. So there's different steps to take. What we'd like to do is just take it one step at a time as a faith family. And so our challenge is just going to be, let's just start out by praying. So we kind of, Don's a math guy, we kind of did some numbers. So if you pray for, if our faith family rallies around and say we have 40 people that says, yes, we're going to do this. And if you think about how multiplication works, 5 prayers a day, okay, 40 people over a month, that's like 6,000 prayers just in 1 month at our faith family, just for our neighbors. And so this is just a really cool way to do it. I wanted to show you something. So here is, if it'll come up, there's a map. And so when you sign up to this, you see up there, the little orange, okay? So that's somebody we had a conversation with. But you see the little person waving, that's us. And then it calls you a light. You're a light in your neighborhood. So you're signing up to be a light in your neighborhood. So you can see all those little houses all around us. And then you say, well, you know, I'm really concerned about people at my work. Or if you're in school, and you're like, I'm really concerned about my classmates, you can go in here and you can actually click on a little button and click on the little map icon, and you can add people that aren't necessarily like right next to your neighborhood. So you just put in, you don't even have to put a street address in, you just put a name in and go to other addresses right there, put their name in where you can put work, you could put school, you could put my hairdresser, if it's somebody that you see on a regular basis. Okay. You can also, if I go back to my list here, you can see right there, this is where I can keep track of how many times I've prayed for these people, conversations, meals, serving, store. You can just click the up or down, the plus or minus sign. But you also see like a little trash can there with an X. Maybe you said like, so it populates 40 people, but you pray for five people a day. And you're like, well, 40 is a little too much. I just really want to start out with 10. You can delete people right there, okay? And then maybe in another couple months you want to add some more back in. So you can go to these. You can click on the little, looks like a little nut for a bolt right there. That's you can go in there and change the name or the address if you know it's wrong, because sometimes the mail doesn't quite catch up if somebody's moved. So you can adjust things. But anyhow, we wanted to introduce that to you. If I go to my account, so I've registered as kind of the lead for Christ Community Church. So I have an account right here. So far we have 4 lights. So we've already had 4 people sign up. We've had 196 prayers so far. So this is October. So what we were thinking is in November, we'd like to come back and just encourage one another, share some testimonies, some stories about how God is really working just through prayer. It's amazing what you can see happen when we just dedicate ourselves just to prayer. And then we can take another step through moving into the other steps on this. So there's just different, you kind of have to get on and play with it, but I'll be available after service on Wednesday nights or whatever to help you walk through that. Again, there's an app. If you would rather have it on an app, it's called Bless, and it looks like little drops. If I go back to the home screen here, if their icon is on here, but you can see that and you can download that. So does this really work? Don's going to share just a brief little story about how he has seen God use this for him.
Yeah, like we said, we've used this in Ohio when we lived in a neighborhood, and we had a couple across the street that was our age, and we prayed and built relationships, and finally got the courage to ask them to church, and they came on Easter, and they heard the gospel. Don't know if they got saved or not. After that, they asked us for prayer for their health. You know, and I share that. We don't know how God used that in their lives, but we were able to make the first step, and it was over a process of time. I share that with you to say it's not up to us that people come to know Christ. It's up to God's Holy Spirit and His leading. And we're just asked to be faithful to share our story and how people come to a personal relationship with Jesus, like Steve had shared in his reading. But God definitely used that in our previous neighborhood, and to make contacts and share the gospel.
And there's just something about being able to pray for people by name and just start out that way. So again, blesseveryhome.com. I'm going to go ahead and right there. Does that show up? I don't know if you can get that on your phone or not. If you can see that and your phone will allow you, that will take you direct. That will link you directly to First Light. First Light. We are being the light to become a light. That will link you directly to our church. If you can't get that, then you can go when you sign up for your account. You can add Christ Community Church to your account, and it'll let you do that. If you go to your settings, it'll let you do that. Okay, and so just real quick, the second thing that we wanted to just bring up as an opportunity, it was in the bulletin. So if we're going to be the light, we wanted to share just something real quick. We know that Halloween is coming up this month, and there's different feelings about that. But it is a great opportunity, and so we're calling it Light the Night. So if we want to be a light, let's take advantage of this opportunity where we have people actually come to your house. You don't even have to go anywhere. We have people coming to our houses, knocking on doors. What an awesome opportunity it can be to just plant a seed. And so we would just like to encourage our faith family to take advantage of that. And so if you don't have, if you don't live in a neighborhood where there's kids, partner with somebody in the church, or go to, maybe you have kids or grandkids that live somewhere else that are, just partner with them. And we just encourage, you know, set up a little table at the end of your driveway, because parents, that's where the parents hang out. And just ask them to say, hey, we're a family that likes to pray for our neighborhood. What can we pray for about? You know, how can we pray for you? And most people are going to be like, okay, well, this, or they'll say no, and then they'll move on, and that's okay. But at least it's just an opportunity, another opportunity to just be that light to where God has planted you. And my plan is to order some kid-friendly tracks this week and have those available for you guys, for all of us, to just be able to slip a little word in or just have a conversation with parents. It's a great thing. Jennifer, in their neighborhood last year, if you remember her talking about that, they had something similar like that going on. And if we could have that in all of our neighborhoods, that would be awesome. And we can, again, come back on that next Sunday and just share with one another and encourage and build each other up in the faith. And so Don's going to wrap up our part a little bit with just a little reading and some scripture about being a light and just kind of where our heart is in all of this.
Yeah, this is entitled Be a Light, and the scripture is Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So, really, for me, just pray for boldness through this, and that God will direct and give us wisdom. But this article on this scripture, Paul David Tripp expounds on these verses. He says, these words of Jesus preached during the Sermon on the Mount have become commonly recited in Christian tradition. I would like to propose that they should shock and unsettle us. Why? Because elsewhere Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. So are we and Jesus both the light of the world. That should be an uncomfortable identity. It's not a comparison or parallel we should accept casually. In this moment, Jesus is placing his name on his followers and describing God's plan for human redemption. The Lord will make the light of his presence, power, grace, and wisdom visible through his disciples that he sends out to be a light in the dark world. I'd like to say it this way. Our God of light makes his invisible light visible by sending his children of light to reflect that light to people who need light. All of us have been delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, are called to be lights in this dark world, proclaiming the good news of the one who is the light of the world. Be encouraged and challenged by this principle. In fact, I'll take it even further. God uses inexperienced, unqualified people to build his eternal kingdom. I'm glad for that. What mission board, ministry, or local church would ever hire the people God used in Scripture for their newest leadership position? Would you ever think Moses, Gideon, David, or Peter was a good candidate? So over the next year, let's all commit to seeking opportunities to be a light to those living in darkness. This is the mission in life for all those who follow Jesus. God has uniquely placed each of us in the exact situations, locations, and relationships to make the light of the world visible and concrete. We are to look to Christ's face. We are the tone of his voice. We are the touch of his hands. We are the physical representation of his light in a dark world. And that's just all we had. We hope this tool will be helpful to you to share and pray for those you work with, go to school with, or your neighbors.
Amen. Thank God for Don and Tammy. Thank you for your boldness in coming up. We're going to leave this on the screen. Don and Tammy will be in the back. Perhaps next week we're going to have a sign-up sheet. For those of you that have homes with high traffic area, you'd like some other brothers and sisters to come and join you. Like Tammy said, we're going to be providing tracts and some unique things that you can give out. And, of course, most of all, offer prayer. Even if it's just saying one sentence for somebody, that means the world to people if they receive your prayer. So, Father, I pray that you would just bless each person in this room. Thank you for the giftings, the talents, and the places that you put us in your sovereignty, God. You've determined the time and the place that we're to be the light that you've called us to be. And, Father, I pray that you give us the strength to do it, and that you would remind us every day to pray, to seek your face, to take one step at a time. And Lord Jesus, we just give this whole ministry opportunity, this great commission, this calling you've given to each of us, over to you. And we surrender to your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. And you guys have a great week and be encouraged in the Lord.